Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. If you don't go to Daniel very much, then turn to the table of contents without pride and begin to find Daniel chapter 6. Now, it's easy because if you go to Psalms, hang a right, and go past Proverbs and Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, etc., and then you'll come to Daniel. And it's a pretty big book, so you, but it's kind of right before Matthew, a few books back. Daniel chapter 6. Now, this message was placed on my heart last week from a council session that I did, and it just kind of it was just some revelation that the Lord gave me to just build up this person. And I told my wife, man, a really cool message came to my heart, and I really understood it. A lot of times as a minister, that temptation to wonder if you have the right message prepared, you know, is always in your mind. But years ago, when a lot of ministers do come to me wondering, you know, how do you know what to preach? And really, it can be a burden on some ministers if they get caught up in, you know, the wonder of, is this the right message or not? And so what I always say to them is whatever you begin to minister, even if it, you know, if you don't know if it's going to fit the crowd, just decide and preach on something and God will bless it. And get that pressure off of you. And so that's how I've always lived. When God puts something on my heart, I'm not going to go in and wonder if there needs to be a different message for today's crowd. I'm just going to choose to decide that whatever God placed on my heart, He'll bless it, He'll anoint it, and you'll receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Say amen to this. Well, really, in life, that's how all of us are supposed to live, is deciding to do something. I call it a quality decision is key, and that would be the title of this message, is just decide to do something. People come to me all the time trying to figure out how to get out of some addictions, let's say. And I've always counseled that in order to quit something, let's take, for example, smoking. For a cowboy, a lot of times it's dipping because, you know, in the cowboy culture, that's just what comes up is dipping. But let's just say smoking because, you know, it's a tough addiction a lot of times. And usually a Christian person more usually will hide it. But people always know. So don't get under condemnation or guilt if you're in some type of struggle. But here's how you get out of it. You have to have more of a desire not to do it than you have to do it. I'm saying you have to have such a desire to say, you know what, I don't want to do that no more. Then the desire to do it. Most people don't have that. They like what they do. They like the taste. They like the, you know, whatever it does to them, they feel. Which, it's going to be hard to quit anything until you have more of a desire not to do it than to do it, you see. But really, the key is when you're wanting to get freed from something that has held you in bondage in some areas, you just need to decide to not do it anymore. Amen. It's kind of like the example I've given of having a bad thought in your mind. How do you get a bad thought out of your mind? I mean, you'll try to get it out, then it comes back. And I'm not talking it has to be a nasty, nasty thought, but it could be something that's just destructive, like, you know, flipping off someone in Austin because they cut you off on the road. And that thought is there to, what'd you say? What'd you do? And then you want to do something. Well, if there's a thought in your mind, let's use a different example, like a negative thought. You've got this negative thought of maybe something that you heard. I'm not very pretty. I don't like the way I'm looking, and because of something that someone says, it's constantly in your mind, and you've been trying to get it out. Well, the way you get it out is you have to change. Make a decision to change what's in your mind. So I've always used the examples of an apple, right? Y'all have heard this before. And you picture an apple in your mind, and I want everybody to do it. Does everybody have an apple picture in your mind? And that's the key. Because, again, how many of you, the apple is red in your mind? Let me see your hand. But watch this. How many of you have a green apple in your mind? See, there's a few. And then you can go to, the depth of is the apple cut up in your mind? Is it? It's cut up in your mind? You're different. How many apples cut up in your mind? There was two or three. Four of you, five or six of you. Most of you have the full apple in your mind, probably, right? Let me see your hand. But how many in your mind have the stem on your apple still? But how many of you don't? See, I mean, you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of different things in your mind about that apple. But when you change it, and you start thinking of a banana, how many of you have a yellow banana in your mind right now? Because I said banana. Look, I mean, think about it, banana. How many have a less ripe banana is green in your mind? See, there's, look at you. But listen, how many of you, your bananas have half the peel already down? Matter of fact, who's already taken a bite? I mean, when you started thinking of the banana, green, yellow, peeled or not, you could no longer think of the apple. You actually changed your thought process from one thing to another. And that's a decision that one has to make. You've got to have a quality decision to do anything in life. If you want to succeed, then you've got to decide to succeed. If you want to be a blessing to someone, you've got to decide, I want to be a blessing. If you want to wake up on the wrong side of the bed, it's a decision you can make. But on the other hand, if you want to decide, I'm not going to be upset when I wake up. I'm going to decide that I'm going to have a great day. Now, I realize that you got to get your confession in line with your thought life. Pretty important to start saying out of your mouth, I'm blessed, highly favored of God. Instead of maybe what some thoughts are in your mind of, you know, I just don't feel like a blessing today. You know. Quality decisions are very important in the kingdom of God, because if you make a quality decision to do good, I'm telling you, you will reap the benefits of that decision. Deciding to do good, deciding to be who you are in Christ, deciding to control what comes out of your mouth, it's all going to be someone deciding to do the right thing. And when you do that, watch how you prosper in other areas of your life. Because think about it for a minute. You can probably think of someone in your life maybe family, maybe a friend, someone that you know that have constant things coming out of their mouth that is not good. I mean, they're talking fear, they're talking doubt, they're talking unbelief, and you're wanting them, and I know you're thinking about that person right now probably, but that's all you hear is, wow, they're negative. Wow. On the other hand, the good part of it is you probably can think of someone that, man, that guy is always positive. He's always happy. I don't think any of you have ever seen me in a upset mood, crying, talking filth out of my mouth, have you? You know why? Because I've trained myself to decide that I'm going to be a life giver. I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to be someone that speaks life to you instead of the curse. And it's a decision, y'all. It's a decision to be who God has created you to be. All right, so let's get into some examples. In Daniel chapter 6, the very first says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princesses, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first." Think about that. Daniel, there was three presidents, he was chosen to be the first one. Okay, keep that in your mind. "And the princesses might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Verse 4. "Then the presidents and the princesses sought to find occasion against Daniel." So those others that were picked, they wanted to bring old Daniel down, didn't they? Here. They sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but, I like this part, "they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Man, what an example of a heck of a mighty man here. But why was he placed in this area? When you study it out, you find out that making a decision, because here's one thing that I want you to write down. How important it is to make a decision to get your spiritual life in shape. We've got to make a decision, not based on what we did in the past and all the issues and problems that we might have caused in the past, even if it was this morning. Even if it was yesterday, even if it was in college, to not meditate on those things that we decide to live by, wouldn't we decide to make sure that our spiritual lives are in shape? Did you hear me though? To decide, make a decision to get our spiritual lives in shape, because that's exactly what Daniel did. The Bible says here he had an excellent spirit. Because he had an excellent spirit, he was promoted over the presidents. They found, because they looked, and trust me, people will. When you decide to get your spiritual life, it's like the enemy attacks. Because when the enemy attacks, he's trying to get you to decide that it was easier in the days of Babylon. It was easier in the days before you gave your heart to Jesus. Because when you decide to give your life to Jesus, well, the devil doesn't like that. He wants to John 10:10 you. Steal, kill, and destroy. But keep reading, as we all know, say it with me, Jesus came that we might have life and more abundant life. We've got to choose that kind of life. The thing that Daniel did, since they found no fault in him, is Daniel never compromised. I'm telling you the truth. I can't tell you how many people have told me, your rodeo probably will never get big until you sell alcohol. I always get messages. I was telling my family yesterday, I said, I always get messages, do you sell alcohol? Why don't you? That's part of rodeo, selling alcohol. Well, I've decided that we're not going to compromise. And if you don't compromise, you know what it draws? It draws better people. Now, don't get me wrong, because they're walking outside, and Ricky can testify, they may walk right up to the gate with the beer or the glass of something, and we have to say, we can't bring that in, and they will guzzle it immediately. But when you don't compromise, I would rather have the blessing of the Lord than the blessing of the world. Because what it causes a compromising spirit to come, and all you're doing is you're not deciding to get your spiritual life right. We've got to decide, like Daniel did. He did not compromise. He made a quality decision to live right. What messes people up is when they mess up. The devil brings guilt and condemnation on them, and they just, well, that's just part of life. Or they'll hear some non-bold preacher saying, you know, brother, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. You know, we're sinners. Saved by grace. No, you're not. You're not a sinner if Jesus is Lord. Amen. You may sin, but you're not a sinner. You're a righteous person saved by the grace of God. Okay? The thing is we've got to make quality decisions to live right. That's why Matthew says, seek first His kingdom. His kingdom, when you study it, is simply this, His ways of doing things. God's ways of doing. That's His kingdom. You've got to seek it, but it's going to take a quality decision to seek His kingdom. But what happens when you seek God's kingdom and His righteousness? Remember, righteousness is just simply doing what's right. That's it. Making a decision, a quality one, to do right. Because, man, there's a lot of temptations to not do right. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, I was jumping over the fence trying to put water to the trough of the sheep. And I had this leg, and I was going to balance on the gate that I didn't feel like was going to swing. I thought it was stationary. So when I moved and the thing went more, my foot slipped off. And I hit the pipe fence right here. And the only reason I told my wife that I didn't cry was because there was people around. Oh, like a bruise. It was still sore this morning. And, well, there was some thoughts that came to the preacher's mind. But I made it a quality decision not to say what my mind was thinking. Amen. Come on, y'all. Because there's constant temptation, right? To make a quality decision to allow things to come out of your mouth that shouldn't. Remember in Matthew where it says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks? You'll know what's in your heart. Because it'll come out your mouth. Okay? Listen to me. We've got to make a quality decision just like Daniel did, because he never compromised. And he was excellent. See how the word says that he was excellent? I looked up the word excellent in the Hebrew. It's a root meaning of abundance. Just being excellent. And Daniel was excellent, which was why he got promoted. He became the first president, etc. It was all because that word abundance simply means when you're excellent, that God is number one. God is number one in your life. Man, everything else can be number one. Roping. I mean, your business. I mean, there's lots of temptation to get focused in on one thing that becomes your number one. But not for Daniel. Daniel made a quality decision that he was not compromising and that God was his number one. And look what happened. Just because of that quality decision to make sure his spiritual life was in shape, God then promoted and blessed the socks off of Daniel. You see, making that spiritual life and getting it in shape was the decision that caused him to live an excellent, abundant life in Christ. Here's something else that I'll just give you quickly about making quality decisions is number two, making a decision to choose. And you got to choose the blessing. Man, when you start talking about the blessing of God, wow. A lot of things come because, man, think about it. A blessing is a good thing. Who would agree with that? But you also have to understand there's a curse. In your Bibles, just real fast, go to the left and find Deuteronomy chapter 30. Just go to your left. It's a big book, and you'll find it's like the fourth book from the front or so. And turn to 30 of Deuteronomy. Right before I close, I want to show you kind of how Jehoshaphat lived in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And it's only found, really, like I love, in one verse, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Look what it says in the King James. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death. Read on. Blessing and cursing. Then he helps us. Therefore, choose. Stop right there. Did you notice he said you're going to have to choose? You're going to have to make a quality decision to choose something. And he's helping us here. He says, therefore, choose life. Choose the blessing. Because you have an opportunity, since it's set before you, remember, blessing and cursing, life and death, you can choose the curse and you can choose death. But why would you? Why would you? Wouldn't it be more appropriate for a believer wanting to live in abundance to choose life and blessing? If you do, well, it goes on to say, choose life, that both thou and thy seed. You know what your seed is. I've said it many times here. What's your seed? Your children and their children and their children. That your seed may have life. Man, I don't understand why any father or mother wouldn't want to bless their children. Amen. Why would you want to hold on to it? No, I'm the exact opposite. But maybe sometimes I shouldn't give a Mustang car to an 18-year-old girl. But she was pretty responsible, actually. I think that would have been dangerous to give my 16-year-old son. He instead got a dually pickup that is heavy and can take some damage. But if we show him the right ways and help him choose the right things, then he's not going to have any trouble. Matter of fact, he was kind of like me. I was the only, I think it was 16-year-old when you get your permit. 15? I was the only 15 that drove to Driver's Ed. That's how Seth was. He drove. And all those kids were like, "You're driving. You don't even have your permit. That's why you're trying to come here to learn." Well, ranch kids, they already learn. We know how to drive, right? But again, Seth and any other kid is going to have to learn. We're just going to have to teach them how to make right decisions. And then when they make wrong ones, there's a penalty, right? Or there's a good talking to it of, "Hey, what'd you learn? You know, well, give me that phone. Please, no." Okay, listen. Making a decision to choose blessing is God gives you the blessing. You got to understand that it's God that wants to bless. There's a devil, there's a God. God wants to bless his kids, right? But the devil doesn't. He wants you to live by the curse. But you've got to choose the blessing. He's not the author of the curse, God. It's the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So here's the gist of this message. If you're on the road to destruction in some area of your life and you're struggling mentally, even people that are successful in on the outside are major struggling on the inside in different areas. As I've always said, I counsel more millionaires a lot of times than I do people that don't have anything. Because someone with a lot of money have a lot of issues. They got lots of struggles that they're dealing with. So the point is God wants to just cause you to make the right decision. If you're on a road that's just not a good road, you've got to decide and choose a different road. You have to make the decision. I'm not living this way any longer. I'm going to live by God's way. And it's going to take some effort. Don't let any preacher tell you that living for him is just an easy, easy road. Because there's always a devil that's sometimes whispering fears, doubts, and unbeliefs in the ear so that you'll meditate on that and live that way. But by golly, we've got to make decisions to live the right way. Why? Because that's who we are. We're Christians. We're living in a different kingdom than the kingdom of the world. But what happens is we kind of step over the fence, or we straddle the fence. I don't even know if it's possible, but we straddle the fence possibly, and we live this way, and we'll come to God, say, "God, forgive me." But in order to get forgiven, you got to change. You got to make a quality decision that you're not doing that any longer, and you're going to live in the righteousness of God. Amen? Okay, look, then the last thing is God's not trying to get you. He's trying to forgive you. God's not trying to get you. He's not out to get you, y'all. He's just trying to forgive you. Say amen to that. Amen. I mean, that's good news, Morris. Amen. He's not trying to get old Morris. As ornery as Morris is. Say amen to that, his buddies. Oh, Morris said amen. No, God's just trying to forgive us. But we've got to make a quality decision. It will help you in life if you'll just decide. No, just don't let things just happen. Things just happen. No. Make a quality decision today to live right and watch the blessing of Daniel come into your life. You will get promoted. You will have the blessing of God. You'll be able to call out and say, "I can do all things through Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. I am someone in Christ Jesus, not away from Him. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am someone in Christ Jesus. And no devil in hell is going to get me down. Why? Because I choose life. I choose the blessing of God. You know, there's something about getting excited for our God. Choosing to get happy. Choosing to live a life in Christ. And if you'll just do that instead of sitting on your hands all the time. If you'll choose to get excited and share your gospel, there's going to be persecution possibly because people are going to know your past. They still bring up my past. And I have to say that's the old me. But I'm making the decision to do right. Without the head knowledge of, yeah, but what if you don't? Well, thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy, but I'm deciding to choose life and the blessing of God. And if we'll do that, things are going to be a lot better in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for just getting built up. Even with tired bodies from a rodeo, we need to choose to not allow our body, as much as it may be tired or hurting, we need to choose that our bodies, our flesh is crucified and it's not going to control our moods. A hurt leg, hurting feet. My Lord, my feet hurt yesterday. I wore the wrong boots, I think. I'm not going to allow that to change my mood into a negative mood. I'm going to choose that I just won't be moved by my feet hurting. I will beg my wife to rub them. Just kidding, Mama. So, Father, bless everything that happened here today in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, Mama, I was just kidding about the rubbing the feet. Oh, glory. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do that right now. We're going to pray a prayer. If you're here and you just don't know what would happen to you if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, it's time that you choose. You have to make a decision to follow Jesus. Because that's the word, Romans 10 and 9. If you'll confess Jesus with your mouth, believe God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. John 14, I like these two scriptures, but it's all through the Bible. John 14 says that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. There's only one way to the Father, according to the Gospel of John. The Word of God, we believe it. It says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through me, Jesus. If you're here this morning or you're watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now. Give your heart to Jesus. We're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray it. You repeat it after me. But listen, I'm just leading you in the prayer. You have to pray it out loud. You've got to mean it. Ask Jesus to come into your life. If you've never done that, pray this prayer with me right now. And believers, people that are saved are going to pray this prayer with you. We're all going to pray it. We're not going to leave you out. We're not going to let you do it by yourself. We'll just pray it with you. But when you pray it individually, mean the prayer. Believe the prayer. So let's pray it just like this. Again, I'm talking to mainly people that don't know what would happen to them if they died. Would they go to heaven? Would they go to hell? You have to make a decision to choose heaven by choosing to receive Jesus as Lord. So let's all do that right now. Out of your mouth, say this. Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess. I make the decision to choose Jesus. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, you're in this audience, I'm not going to embarrass you and have you come to the front. Just right where you're at, you're sitting. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, and you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to just raise your hand up. And all that simplifies is that you meant that prayer to God. God, here's my hand. I'm not ashamed. Thank you for saving me. I want to go to heaven. That's what you're doing by raising your hand. And be bold about that. Don't be ashamed to receive a Savior like Jesus that died for you. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? One, with boldness. Two, three. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate that. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. I'm just going to give you a Bible. No one looking around. Very proud of you. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else, if I didn't see your hand, just pop it up. Let us see it. We'll give you a Bible and then put it right back down. Anybody else? Hallelujah. All right, look at me. Praise God. Love it. Praise the Lord. People get saved. That's the whole mission of what we're supposed to do. Now, y'all that raised your hand, if you don't live here, you've got to find a Bible-believing church where you live. That's how you start learning. There's a preacher, hopefully. If you pick the right church, they'll teach you how to live by God's ways of doing things. If you don't live around here, find that Bible-believing church. If you live around here, then you need to come to this church. It's the greatest church I know of.